Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you whenever, and oh, by the way, whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studios of eloquenceonline.net in cold but sunny New Braunfels, Texas, and a long, long walk through the ice and snow through the great American South and into the Southeast up to Charleston, South Carolina from his tastefully decorated home and office. His name is Tough Talkin' Troy Hall. Hey, Troy, how are you, sir?
Hey, I am great, but Jason, what day is it?
It is Wednesday. It is hump day.
Well, wait a minute. No. It would be hump day, right? You don't have to say Wednesday. You got to say it's hump day.
It's hump day,
dude,
yes.
You got to get contemporary here,
that's,
you know?
Right.
I mean, we just did. Listen, we got to connect the shows from last week's hey, dude, you know, to now contemporary, you know, like what day? The kids still say it. They love
I'm
saying what
to
day
stay,
is it.
I'm trying to stay as contemporary as possible, and you are. Speaking of contemporary, you're a contemporary guy. You're doing the cool work from home thing today, are you not?
I am, and that's because it is a very icy day here in Charleston, which is quite unusual for us, but of course, at the sight of a single snowflake, we shut down the entire city.
Yes.
So, but I do have to say, much better that we do that than the folks in Atlanta who I think did not take the snow and ice as serious. And I had a friend of mine who was on the road for about 19 hours trying to get to her kid who was stuck at, actually her child was older, so not like, there are some kids that were stuck in daycares for long periods of time because they didn't close the schools fast enough. And, but this was a college student who originally had taken the MARTA, and MARTA had shut down, and so the mom got in the car to go and was like almost 19 hours on the road.
Wow.
to try to get down there. It just, you know, just it's unusual whenever people do not take seriously sometimes these weather conditions and how they can impact. I know the folks up north, they make so much fun of those of us in the South, and I know I'm one of them and kind of like I have a mixed breed, but I understand why we have to shut the roads down when it snows and ices here because we do not have the snow plows and the snow equipment because it would be
right.
Silly for us to really spend resources on something that happens, you know, so infrequently. Like mm-hmm. last time this happened was 5 years ago. So why
right.
would I have all these resources hanging around for the one time may happen in 5 or 10 years?
Exactly. And, of course, the credit union's never closed. People can still do all of their banking, much of it, transactional banking, from the comfort of their homes and their cars and their iPads. And I did see some pictures of that traffic in Atlanta. And, you know, I work from home, so I don't know anything about commuting and stuff like that, but it looked like it was quite a mess. And that, yeah, to your point, it didn't look like the folks down in Atlanta took it seriously. And I think they kind of wish they had. Speaking of weather, the weather has been a topic of discussion really all season since the decision to place the Super Bowl up at MetLife Stadium up north. I honestly don't know what to say about this. I mean, I don't like watching the games when I cannot see the field. I'm just going to be very honest with you. It doesn't happen
yeah.
a lot. It doesn't happen a lot. But I like football. I enjoy watching football. And unfortunately, when there's weather and stuff like that, it just gives the announcers that much more to talk about. And even though I host a radio show, I don't like a lot of the commentary and announcing that goes on with games. I mean, last time, was it something to do with the Winter Olympics? I don't know why. I've never read or cared enough to research why they made the decision to play that game outdoors in February up where it can get very, very cold and very, very icy, but we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, again, it's a – you know, like in any of this, it's a political decision that is driven from a monetary standpoint and a monetary gain. And, you know, so obviously it's like the best city win. And so if the city puts up enough money to do it, then
right.
the city your city wins the opportunity to do it. I mean, realistically, folks would travel, folks do travel anywhere. So it's not like, oh, gee, let's have to share it. And especially today, we are so much more connected than we were before. When the world appeared smaller or larger to us in regards to the fact that everything looks so far away. But today, I mean, to get on a plane and to hop, you know, down to Florida or whatever, I mean, you have to think about people coming from the West Coast are still going to travel the same distance whether they go to New York or whether they go down to Florida. So quite frankly, I personally don't know why you wouldn't choose a climate that actually produced more controllable results for the event itself, because you added an additional element to the whole to the whole thing. So from a business perspective, if I were looking at it from a business, I try not to create events that are going to really require me to have more contingency plans than what I need to have. And so, you know, I just think that's something that businesses should make sure they take into consideration before they make decisions, especially changing venues. And, you know, and I kind of equate that a little bit to the NYIB. So I'll mention that because I do work with the National Youth Involvement Board. And looking at what we provide, of course, is information for – we're the collector of resources from a number of national sources to provide credit unions with educational tools to actually reach students, not only for financial literacy, but also to reach students for a gaming account. And one of the things that occurred was they had the NYIB for years, great participation, and they were up in the Northwest, up in the Midwest, I'm sorry, and for whatever reason, that particular location, that venue, shut down and closed. And so then they decided to start rotating it. Well, ever since they started rotating it, to be fair, they've never had the attendance that they had when it was in the location. So one of the things that we sort of brainstormed about was, well, you know, if you know this about your business and you know that you are getting a particular target market and they are really like getting into your product and they're participating and they're doing it, just to move it for the sake of saying, oh, I want to give someone else over here another chance, you have to ask yourself, if it were a charity, then by all means, you might be able to do that. But if you are trying to run an organization so it can stay viable, you need to stay in its area where you're getting the support. Now, if you can branch out and you can do some extra things, that'd be great. It would be just like us picking up our headquarters out of North Charleston, South Carolina, and saying, you know, let's just pick it up and move it to another city because we want to share ourselves with other parts of the state. I mean, that would be ludicrous. Who would do that? So guess what? The NYIB is back to the Midwest again, and we are looking forward to a spectacular conference coming up at the end of June.
We looked at the year coming up, and I said to myself, this year on the radio show, the one thing I'm not going to forget to do is say the name of the show at the beginning of the show and the sponsor. I'm not going to forget to do that. I don't think I've remembered a single time this year, 9 minutes into the show. Let me welcome all of you to the Power of Performance, the show that asked the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? And we want to thank our sponsor, Marquee, well known for their MCIF and CRM solutions. They are also one of the fastest growing creative agencies in the banking marketplace. GoMarquee.com, GoMarquee.com. Really, really cool brand, really, really cool family business. Now back to the Super Bowl. The name of the show today is Super Bowl 3.0. And the reason I went with that title is, like I said to you in the pre-show, I kind of sense like we're getting into the third iteration of the Super Bowl. This is my first Super Bowl that I actually remember, Troy, was one that our favorite team was in. The Steelers' first Super Bowl was actually Super Bowl IX, although I can't say that I was a fan that day. But what I remember very well, I don't know if I was in second or third grade, but Mary Tyler Moore did an episode. And, of course, Mary Tyler Moore was filmed in California, but it was said to take place in Minneapolis. And, of course, they were playing the Minnesota Vikings. And so on the show, I think the Vikings won the Super Bowl. And at the end, Mary Tyler Moore says, and if the Pittsburgh Steelers win tomorrow, we want to congratulate them. You know, just a little disclaimer. And that was my only memory. I don't remember watching the game. I remember hearing that they won. McDonald's would sell these Super Bowl programs you could buy for, I think, 50 cents or something. I actually had that for many, many years. My mom may still have it. And then, of course, it was the next year when my best friend James Stacy would not stop talking about the Dallas Cowboys and how they were going to cream the Pittsburgh Steelers in Super Bowl X. That just to make him mad, I decided I'm going to root for the Steelers. And, of course, they've been my favorite team ever since. And that was 38 years ago. That's crazy.
Wow, that is absolutely crazy.
So I think we're in our third iteration. When we get back from the break, we're going to start talking about the Super Bowl. This weekend, it is America's secular holiday. We are going to see 30 and 60-second short performances. If you had 30 or 60 seconds to tell the world something about your brand, what would you do? Troy and I love marketing and advertising, and of course it's a performance. It's the biggest performance of the year, the halftime performances and everything else. It is a big show. The Super Bowl has come a long way since it came on in the afternoon back when I watched the Steelers defeat the Cowboys on my dad's 19-inch RCA color television in San Antonio, Texas. You just watched the game, and then it was over. There was no tweeting or Facebooking or anything else. It was like a regular football game. It just happened to be the last one of the year until the Pro Bowl. Anyway, we'll talk about it all, and we'll do it all right after this.
Man, when I'm listening to The Power of Performance, I just can't decide who's hotter, Jason or Troy.
Well, you can't tell by the way I use my voice. I'm a woman, man. No time to talk. You need love.
That is right. It's a question that vexes the most intelligent of people, the power performers, where the talk is hot, but the hosts are
hot and handsome.
Hot and handsome and a little fat-fingered, since I wasn't supposed to play that bump until the second part of the show. But anyway, all right, Super Bowl.
This is really great. No, we want people. No, we want people to pick me. It gives them more time to really understand.
That's
they
true.
Should be picking
That's
me. It's
true.
Not a problem.
They should be picking you. Hey, I went to a large, well-known American retailer this weekend that I go to when I go to buy big ticket items. I don't go there unless I absolutely have to, because it is maybe the most terrifying place I go once or twice a month. Of course, I'm talking about Walmart. I went to Walmart, and one of the first things I noticed, and it's terrifying, all the jokes and all the stuff you hear about Walmart, I'm telling you, it is just night and day, because I go to Target a lot more than I go to Walmart. But anyway, I was looking at the TVs, Troy, and the reason I said Super Bowl 3.0, kind of into this third it dawned on me just how much the TVs have changed. Now, I watched the Steelers defeat the Seahawks 10 years ago on a DLP projection TV. Remember those? You could
mm-hmm.
DLP, yeah. You couldn't hear anything because the stupid fan was right there where you were sitting. But I did. I got to see that game, and 60-inch whatever screen it was up on the wall. And then of course I saw the Steelers defeat the Cardinals a couple years later on my brand new Vizio TV. And of course I've been looking at getting another TV. I don't talk about the Green Bay Super Bowl because I don't like the painful memories that it brings back of the Steelers losing the Super Bowl. But I noticed the TVs have changed. I mean, you now, Troy, if you don't want to, you don't have to watch the Super Bowl ads. You can jump over to Skype on your TV or Hulu or your email. Your TV has become a computer now. And I'm wondering, from your perspective, does that up the ante? Are the Super Bowl ads going to have to get more and more outrageous? Or do you think people still tune in to see the commercials? I have not been impressed by the commercials in 5 or 6 years.
I have not either. I think they sort of had a little hiatus, but I did some previews, and one of the things that they appear to be doing now is hyping the ads before the ads go on. So before, there was just what you would call a silent anticipation. It would be like kids waiting for the Christmas present in the for Christmas morning, and so therefore they would know that the package was there, and they knew that they were going to get it, and they would open it up. Now there is this process of teasing a little bit more. And I'm wondering if it also has to do with the sensitivity of the generations. If you consider the fact that what we do know about the Gen Y, which we think might translate to Gen Z, is this a need for immediacy of connection, immediacy of information. Don't want to have to wait for it. I want some of it now. You know, and if you give it to me, but I really need to confirm it, I'll ask you 3 or 4 more times just to make sure that I really heard that you thought I was great. So in that whole gamut of conversation, I'm wondering if that's not streamlining a little bit of, or not streamlining, but if it was actually stimulating the reason that these ads are now on. So if you go to YouTube for Super Bowl, it actually shows you previews of all kinds of things. And so a couple of them that I thought were really cute, one of them is interesting. It's the yellow M&M, so it's doing the home video. Did you get a chance to preview that one by any chance?
I honestly have not previewed any of them. I've not, like I said, I've not been impressed by the commercials in the past. I thought maybe the recession, people weren't spending as much, but no, I haven't seen them. I haven't seen any of them.
So yellow is the yellow M&M is actually doing a home video, and he's dancing or doing some things or whatever. And then somewhere in the process, he gets a tranquilizer shot at him, and he gets drugged out of the shot with a figure wearing black gloves. And then there's a sign in front of the camera that says, "Find out what happens to yellow 2/2/2014. So interesting, again, another lead up to it. And of course, the beer commercials are, you know, all over the place. Bud Light, you know, has really a ton of commercials, one of them with Don Cheadle. And he's standing in front of an elevator with a llama, and he actually says before
now that one I have seen. I have seen some of the teasers. That's right. I have seen.
Yeah, he says, "Oh, just got it, Donnie Llama," and he walks in, and so kind of interesting, you know, how that would play. But I think that what I would say specifically to our marketplace, to primarily those businesses that we speak to on this show. We are not national advertisers. These are national advertisers. We had an opportunity to participate in a local, because, you know, the Super Bowl, actually, there are a lot of commercials that are the national commercials, and then there are spots that are set aside for your local spots. And so for $10,000, we could have purchased a 30-second spot. Now, here is, and we chose not to, and I will tell you some of the reasoning why I think it makes sense not to. First of all, you have to understand that when people are viewing these this event, first of all, this is billed, as you did in the beginning of the show, as the premier sports holiday of this country.
Right.
And so already there's a heightened awareness of potential perfection. These are supposed to be the elite teams that are coming together in order to buy for the championship to be named the number one, you know, program, the number one team in the country. And so advertisers who meet a national market can get a lot of, you know, opportunity for their product line to be available. And the other thing that I will tell you is that the success of these programs occur when they are national programs. There's also a lot of emphasis, and look at the number of ads that are based on consumable products versus conceptual products. There is a difference in the way the commercial comes across. There is a difference in the way the humor can be added. You know, Dorito for years had some of the funniest commercials ever from the Super Bowl. Again, it's a consumable product. And I think that what occurs for financial institutions that I would handle with strategic planning and helping them with marketing, I would say stay in the area where you're not going to be compared at that level, because your fans might look at you, and in the South we'd say something like, "Bless your heart." And quite frankly, that meant you didn't live up to the standard. And I would rather participate in an area where, number one, I can get the king voice that I want to get, and I don't want to be knocked down simply because I don't have the financial resources to develop an ad that's going to be at the level that these ads are at.
Yeah, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. I mean, I do watch. I mean, I think there's still an element of excitement. I don't know if I like some of the teasers. I'll be honest, I had not put together the Donnie Llama thing yet. Don Cheadle, whom I like. I know that this year I thought we had a great example of overdoing the hype. I think Will Ferrell was in more ads for Anchorman 2 than people actually went and saw the movie, and I think that works against the movie in a big way. I don't know how it's going to translate on Sunday, but of course I'll be there. I'm watching. I'm going to watch the game. I'm going to enjoy the game. I will tell you, I'm hoping the Seahawks win. Only because I like it when a team that has never won a championship wins their first. I think that's just great for a city.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It works well. Because what it does is it sort of brings out an element of newness. And so from the game perspective alone, it brings out another element of newness. It's not like, oh, humdrum, here are the same teams again. You know, going. Not that I care, because I would love to see the Steelers go every year to the Super Bowl. So I really don't care, quite frankly, about that. But just from the overall perspective, maybe the Cleveland Browns might like to be able to at least get a ticket sometime to the Super Bowl. I don't know. Maybe not, but really don't care.
You hear that, Deb Schaefer? If Deb Schaefer's listening, I'm she's not.
Yeah, she just went postal on us.
I know, right? She just, there goes our one live listen for the week. I'm not going to – I don't have a smart TV, so I'm not going to switch over. I might look down at my iPad, but I'll probably watch the commercials. I will tell you, there was one Super Bowl commercial that literally changed my life, and I mean that literally. And that goes back to, I think, the Super Bowl in 1996. Or 1997, when Monster did their first series of ads, and it was a kid standing in a cornfield, and he says, I want to file all day. I want to say yes, sir, all day. I want to be a yes man. And I think it asked the question at the end, what did you want to be when you grew up? And it said Monster.com, but it didn't tell you what Monster.com was. I didn't understand the kid wanting to be something and then Monster.com. But, of course, that next Monday, I jumped on my 56 KPS dial-up internet connection at the bank and realized it was a job search site. And I remember watching the ad going, I say yes, sir, all day. I file all day. I do loans all day. And that very day I found a job in San Antonio, much more money at Clark American, got to go back home to San Antonio. And within 6 months I was back in San Antonio, completely new career, completely new reality, and that all came from a Super Bowl ad. So I know they can be very, very compelling. I just don't know why. Maybe the expectation is so high. I can't think of one in the past few years that I went, wow, that was really, really creative or whatever. Hey, folks, when we get back from our last break, I also want to talk about something I witnessed this weekend. And, of course, Troy and I love to talk about generational stuff. And, Troy, you've got a lot of generations that weave their way through your life, so I know you'll find this interesting. And we will do it all as soon as Jason finds the right bump to push. There it is on top. Right, please put it. Bye, right back.
You're listening to The Power of Performance. If your brand were a band, would you leave your audience wanting more?
You know, Troy, I put the pop bump right there at the top so it would come up after the intro. What is the good of preparing if you're not going to push the right time?
I don't know, but it's a good thing I'm flexible, because this is when I now get to say hot and handsome.
Hot and handsome.
This is normally in the show when I would have said hot and handsome. But you had me say hot and handsome earlier in the show because you played the wrong little spot.
We're very hot.
But people wouldn't have known that, because they would have thought, oh, my gosh, a change-up. How clever of that. But no, you have to say it's a mistake. I mean, seriously. So you know what that says? You have to be careful, folks. You don't go out and point out your mistakes to your consumers, okay?
You should.
No. You just simply
keep
going.
Last thing on the Super Bowl. These are, I remember people use the phrase an elevator speech, and I actually I've done this. I live in New Braunfels. We don't have a lot of big buildings. I don't get to spend a lot of time in an elevator, but I have been practicing this in the car. When I drop something off at the school and I'm walking, if I had 30 seconds to tell somebody something about Eloquent Online or the Power of Performance training session or the Power Performance radio show, what would I say? And I got to say, Troy, it's not easy. And you can imagine if you had to say it and know that the entire world was going to see and hear it, and, oh, by the way, it's going to set you back, what, $150,000. It is a pretty daunting thing. I do admire these brands that we're going to see on Sunday, the ones that take a chance and try to be creative. I do always check the ratings. I guess the only one I remember last year was the Paul Harvey Farmer, but I cannot remember what the brand was. Do you?
No, I don't. As a matter of fact, I forget most of the stuff. But I will tell you, like I said, a few of the ones that are the consumable products, like the Doritos, I tend to remember the Doritos. I mean, one of my favorite Dorito ones is it had something to do with the new Crunch Dorito or something, and it ends up the guy is looking at the girl and she's driving along and he's driving along and they're looking at each other, and the next thing you know, he smacks into the back end of another car, which I think is perfectly, you know, natural human behavior.
My guess is Doritos, I mean, I'm sure they can afford to do a lot of Super Bowl spots, because obviously one of the teams is from Colorado, where I'm sure they're eating lots of Doritos for the Super Bowl.
Man, they're eating Doritos.
Man,
yes, right at midnight.
Look at me, I'm getting my $1.19 worth out of my 8 mile ride.
Yeah. That's right. Well, you know, actually, people have talked about the Super Bowl and said, isn't it ironic that this year the Super Bowl is being represented by two teams from Colorado and Washington State?
It's funny.
They've actually referred to it as something other than the Super Bowl, but because this is a PG-rated show,
We're not going to, but I'm sure.
No, I might say something like beat a bong, but I would not say that
right.
on the show.
You wouldn't
but
say
I would,
it on the show.
You know,
that's right.
Yeah,
but I know exactly where you're going with it. Hey,
yeah,
listen, real quick, 3 minutes left in the show. I was at a tournament, a basketball tournament. Our Gold Girls Christian Athletic Association San Antonio tournament was this weekend. It was hosted here at Cross Lutheran in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And then that Saturday, I went to a high school basketball game. My old high school, Converse Judson, was playing New Braunfels here in town, so I went. And I came up with a phrase that just popped into my head, and I called it the new American dexterity. At the CALSA tournament, I watched a three-year-old kid just navigate through his parents' iPad with as much ease as you and I used to, you know, hold blocks or play with Lincoln Logs or Lego and stuff like that. And then at the high school game, I watched all the JV players that weren't playing just texting with a certain robotic quickness that is just foreign to me. And it got me thinking about, you know, banking brands. If they can't swipe it, if they can't text it, if they can't get it on that little smartphone in their hand, you better make sure that you're working on those things. But I did speak to somebody, I'm not going to say who it was, of a credit union brand earlier this week that is working on a youth website. And I just wanted to say nobody's going to go visit that website because young people don't visit URL website.
That's right.
It was just incongruous.
It's amazing. You're exactly right, because the thing that when I do consulting work specifically in that area, I remind them who is the audience that you're expecting to see this. So, for instance, if you are selling youth accounts, you're actually selling them to the mom. You're not selling them to the kid. The kid does not care about your graphics on your page unless you can have it change constantly and you can have it have more games and more of that. I mean, that's the kind of effort and energy you have to put into it. If not, then what you want to do is spend your money targeting the moms and find mom activities that you can actually show them the value that you can bring in assisting their children to receive a better education, to have a better quality of life, to get an opportunity for financing for student loans for that particular education that they're going to be having down the road. Those are the things that you have to provide in order to gain the youth account, not the gummy bears, not the cute little circus-colored websites. Those types of things, realistically, they don't make any difference. And, you know, we recognize that with ours and spend more time. We have a presence because to not discount the presence, but the reality is the effort is spent on the relationships of getting the accounts through other activities not focusing on the website. Because we spent a lot of time and energy on that, and it has not panned out at all.
Exactly. And it's, like I said, it's just, again, the pace of transformation that's occurred just in the time that we've been doing this show is just fascinating. Hey, folks, 10 seconds left. Troy, have a great week.
Yes.
Stay warm.
Thank you, you too.
And we will review our favorites from the Super Bowl next week. If it's Wednesday, it's the Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? On behalf of Troy Hall, this is Jason Dias. We've enjoyed it. We'll talk to you soon. Until next week, make it a great one. We'll talk to you soon. And, of course, I can't. There we go.